You're now listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. A Place of Refuge vision is to cause people to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. For more information, please stop by our website at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Now, here's today's message already in progress.
Contextually, Jesus addressed the person we primarily know as Peter, as Simon. And he called him Simon two times. The number two refers to witness. The root meaning of a witness is testimony. Testimony. A witness, someone that has a testimony, is basically a person that is proof of something. And you can be a good witness and a bad witness. Some folk have went to jail because of a bad witness. Somebody who was supposed to take the stand to help them get out of trouble got on the stand and made their situation worse. Woo, in the church you have good witnesses and bad witnesses. I have preached a good word and only for somebody to close out the service messing it up. I'm just being honest. I done preached a word. I said, man, all need to be said is in Jesus' name, let's go. The word is good, but they done got up and just messed up what I done preached. Here and in other churches. And I'd be like, God, how they go get up and just talk about that? After the word I went forth to help folk. I preached about healing at a church one time, and a person got up and said, oh, I tell y'all, my head was hurting me so bad that I had to go get me some aspirin. Some. I was like, no, that just... What was the purpose of saying that? To everybody. Why couldn't you just take that home with you? And sometimes you have to ask yourself, am I a good witness or a bad witness for the Lord? Am I proof of God's goodness? Or am I to the point to where folks don't want to be saved because of me? Two, number of testimony. I want to show you what John revealed in Revelation. Go with me to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 12, in reference to a testimony. Revelation 12, we'll start at verse 10. John said, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren or Satan, because Satan's name means accuser. Satan is a finger pointer. Remember how he pointed the finger at Job? For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God, and look how relentless he is. Day and night has been cast down. But this is a verse I want you to really pay attention to. And they overcame him on the devil by the blood of the Lamb. And notice the second thing. And by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. They were sold out to Christ. But notice they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Your testimony can help you overcome the devil. But if you're not a legit witness, it will not. It will not. And you have to notice again that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. The one that goes before God day and night trying to make it seem as if you, child of God, are a flunky, pushover. You're not real or serious about your worship to him. Puts down folk like he put down Job. Oh, does Job fear you for not? He don't have no reason to fear you. Look at all you done for him. He points the finger. And back in Luke 22, Jesus let Simon know Satan has asked for you. Yeah, he's been talking about you, Peter. He has been pointing the finger at you. Now, if he before God day and night, or demons are going before him day and night, yeah, he done asked for a lot of us in here. Because again, according to Revelations 12, 10 and 11, he is the accuser of the brethren, of the church. That's what he does. He accuses us, says that we can't do this, that, and the other, or says this, that, and the other about us. Basically, he puts stuff before God because he wants to do what Jesus said he had been asking to do to Peter or Simon. He's asked for you because he wants to sift you as wheat. As wheat. Mama used to have this little sifter. And basically, you control how the flour comes out. Because if you don't want no lumps, you just put it in there. So you control what you want. Satan wants you, Simon, because he wants to influence you. Wants to control you. Wants to damage you. Wants to sever the relationship that you say you have with Jesus. He wants to control you. He wants to prove that he can cause you not only to give Jesus the hallelujah, but to also talk about Jesus. He wants to be able to cause you to say stuff out of your mouth you have no business saying. Cause you to think things you have no business thinking. He's asked for you so he can sift you. Woo! Say to your neighbor, he want to sift you just like wheat. He stopped. Everything stopped. But then, controlling you. Controlling you. But Jesus said, he said, I done prayed for you. I prayed for you. I prayed. And no doubt in my mind, if Jesus, as he is right now, interceding for us, if he prays for us, it helps. It helps. I say it helps. And we know the scripture tells us that when he ascended back to heaven, that he sat at the right hand, making intercession for us, praying for us. At this moment, he's praying for us. But he let Simon know, I'm praying for you. Looking at him, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. He said, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying that your faith won't fail. I'm praying that your faith won't fail. Understand this. I can pray for you, but at the end of the day, as a free moral agent, you can either believe and agree with me or not. It's your choice. If I pray for you and say you heal, it's your choice whether you believe what I said or not. If I say if you do such and such, God gonna really bless you, and we're agreeing on it. But if you choose not to accept what I say, that's on you. It's on you. It's your choice. I prayed for folks, and I knew God wanted certain things to happen, but they chose not to believe it, not to accept the prayer. And some folks choose not to accept prayer because they're looking to feel something. I didn't feel nothing, so I don't believe it worked. Oh, so you basing whether prayer work or not on feelings. I didn't know Matthew 7:7 said, ask, and if you feel it, it shall be given. That ain't in my Bible. If that's in your Bible, I would just love to see it if that's in your Bible. I mean, it could be an error. But I thought it said, ask, and it shall be given. It's not about what you feel. It's about agreeing according to what the word says, standing on it, knowing according to Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass, but not his word. Not one jot, not one tittle shall fail. Once God sends forth his word, it will not return unto him empty, void, or without doing what he purposed for it to do. You just can't mess it up. It's going to do what it does. You just don't get in the way and say you don't believe it. It's a verse in scripture that talks about how Jesus went back to his hometown. And it said that he could not do many miracles or mighty works in his hometown. Get this. Because of their unbelief. Because they chose not to have faith. Chose not to believe what had been preached, proclamated, or put before them. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And so after Jesus told Peter, I done prayed for you. And I have prayed that your faith fails not. You can have faith, but depending on certain situations and circumstances, you can trust your situation more so than your faith. Let me break it down. You can do what 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 tells you, well, implies that you shouldn't do. Remember 2 Corinthians 5 and 7? For we walk by faith, not by sight. But you can start walking by sight instead of faith. And when you are in that place, you are operating in failing faith because you believe what you see, what you hear, more so than what has been revealed or what is written at that moment. And so the Lord was letting Peter know ahead of time, you're going to be put in a position to where your faith will fail if you choose to do what your senses say versus what you done been taught. You're going to be put in that position. But I done prayed for you. And because Jesus not only had present discernment, but future discernment, he knew Peter was going to fail, going to backslide. And so he prophesied to him. When you return, when I return, what you talking about when I return? You're going to backslide. You're going to allow Satan to sift you as wheat. When you return, strengthen the brethren. When you return. When you return, strengthen the brethren. And Peter didn't say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm going to tell you something. I'll go to prison with you. Matter of fact, not only the prayers, I'll die for you. It's just like some of y'all, Pastor, I'm with you. You need me, Pastor, call me. 770-222-2222. Pastor, 24/7. I'm with you. Hey, ha, whoo, I'm with you. Peter was trying to impress Jesus. Trying to make Jesus think that he was on a high level of faith. He was like one of y'all favorite movies, The Untouchables. He can't touch me. I'm untouchable. He was trying to impress him. But at the same time, he was already in the place where Satan was sifting him. Understand this. Because he started lying. He started lying. He started lying. Jesus trying to tell him that he'd been praying for him, and Peter said, "No, I'm ready to go to prison and to die for you." Just lied to Jesus. As if what Jesus said wasn't true. I've had folks testify about, I heard folks testify about what they're gonna do. I knew they were lying when they said it. And it wasn't no slip. It was just a straight out lie. You get in real property business, you sure enough know when folk gonna lie to you. I'm gonna have your money by Friday. Lord, they forget I'm a... Give me 30 days and I'll, okay. But this Jesus we talking about. Peter was in the inner circle. He was mature a little. But he was not at a level of maturity that he needed to be. But see, he thought he was. Peter thought because Jesus had invited him into the inner circle that he was more than what he really. And so he just went ahead and told them the future. He just told them the future. He said, "Look, this day right here, you gonna deny me 3 times before the rooster crow." How Jesus knew a rooster was gonna be around and all that, he just was God. He just knew rooster gonna be there and the sign to where I'm gonna know and you gonna know that you done denied me 3 times, it's gonna be a cock-a-doodle-doo, a rooster gonna crow. He gonna crow. And so we have on the table Satan hungry to sift Peter. I mean, having a hunger to sift him. But you also have to see the text. You have to see the implication. The desire, the hunger that Satan had to sift Peter. Peter didn't have the same hunger for righteousness. That's what messed folk up. They don't have the same hunger to do the right thing versus the hunger that Satan has to do the wrong thing. You have to be to the point to where you are so hungry to do what's right to where Satan ain't gonna be able to, he ain't gonna be able to touch you because of that righteousness. Because in scripture, even when Jesus needed something to eat, his hunger for doing the right thing was so high, even though Satan tried time and time and time and time and time again to get to him, he couldn't get to him because of the hunger that Jesus had to do the right thing. The more Satan came at Jesus, the more Jesus said, "It is written, it is written, it is written, it is written." What was he doing? Setting the perfect example. Letting us know, if you hunger for righteousness, you're going to be filled. If you hunger for righteousness, you ain't going to backslide. If you hunger for righteousness, the enemy ain't going to be able to turn you every which way but loose. If you hunger for righteousness, you won't curse her out the next time. Don't act like that. You cuss somebody out, even though you told that same person you were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Say to your neighbor, but if you hunger for righteousness, the enemy won't be able to turn you every which way but loose. You got to get your hunger level up. You got to get to the point to where you not only hunger to hear the word in church, but you hunger for the word on a Monday, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, on a Friday, and on a Saturday. I talk word every day, throughout the day. How about you? Quiet section right here. We got these three hallelujah rolls, but beyond that, I look at your neighbor and say, you got to have a hunger for righteousness. When wrong just staring you in the face, you got to have a hunger for righteousness. When your lip get to jumping like my lip was jumping and you're ready to cuss somebody's shrimp out, you got to have a hunger for righteousness. When you know somebody done stab you in the back and you feel like going to get your Glock or going to get your Hulk knife and cut somebody up or shoot at somebody, you got to have a hunger for righteousness that's telling you, let Jesus make your enemies your foot. You got a hunger for righteousness. The same way Satan, demons, hunger to do you wrong. I get up ready to cast him out every day. Asking God to rebuke the devourer every day. I come with the word just like he come with lies. You got a hunger for righteousness. When it feel like it ain't gonna happen, you got to quit acting like a little old baby girl and say, God, I'm just gonna stand on your word until you do what you promise. Because all of your promises are yes and amen. So I'm gonna shout in this trial. I'm gonna leap for joy in this trial. I'm gonna turn for victory in my trouble because I know you're going to do exceeding abundantly above what I don't even ask. When you don't feel like going on, you got to go on anyhow. You got to put your feelings under subjection and say, I'm going to trust God anyway. When you don't want to count it all joy because it's so hot, it's so rough, you got to say, I'm going to put my feelings under subjection. I'm going to clap my hands anyhow. I'm going to turn in victory anyhow. I'm going to leap for joy anyhow. I'm going to give him some hallelujahs. I'm going to give him 4.5 amens. I'm going give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. But you can't act like you all that. Say to your neighbor, you ain't all that. We hurt your little tongue, but you ain't all that. Paul told the church, don't think more highly of yourself than you are. You still old men who thought they were just on a roll and doing pretty good, be rattling that chain in their pocket. Yeah, boy, I bought that right there. Yeah. Got that dual carburetor on it, too. Yeah, you see them pipes sticking out in the back? Custom made. Yeah. That's my baby right there. Yeah, that's my baby. If you look right there in the corner right there, you'll see what I call her. That's my sunshine truck. You can never get beyond yourself or never think above yourself, more of yourself than you should. And that's what Peter was in the text. But the prophecy done been put on him by Jesus. Today, Peter, today, Simon, you're going to deny me. So let's check it out. I'm getting ready to close. Thank you for staying with me. Stay in Luke 22. We're going to read. I ain't going to be quoting this. I want you to see it. Y'all all right? Luke 22. We'll start at verse 55. Now, Jesus done been arrested. He done been arrested, and he getting ready to go through a secular trial and a religious trial. A religious trial first and then a secular trial. And then he's going to be sentenced. Now notice, Luke 22 and 55. Then when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as she sat by the fire, look, notice this, intently or seriously at him and said, this man was also with him. Get ready for round one. But he denied Jesus, saying, woman, I don't know him. This ain't the shot. This ain't the big dog saying he don't know him, is it? Peter finna have to come off the porch. Verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Round two over. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said for the third time, man, I do not know what you are saying. Not even 10 seconds. Immediately, while he was still speaking, telling that lie, the rooster crowed. And notice this. The Lord turned. Now here he is getting ready to be sentenced to death. But he turned to let Peter know the prophecy done happened. Didn't say a word to him. He said what needed to be said. He turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the prophecy of the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out. Now he didn't do it while he was with the folk, trying to save face. But then he went out, got by himself, and wept bitterly. When you really love God, even though you have backslid, when you do wrong, it bothers you. I said it bothers you. Oh, a lot of us, we done did our little messes. Now, don't even try to act like you squeaky clean. We know your name ain't squeaky clean. It bothers you when you do wrong. I said it bothers you when you do wrong. He wept bitterly. Implication, he started allowing his heart to get in the place that it needed to be. See, the Bible says godly sorrow works repentance. And so he started weeping bitterly. And can you imagine what was going through his mind? Because notice it says that he remembered the words of the Lord. Man, he told me it was going to happen. I really thought I was strong enough. I should have just asked him what to do and told him thank you, but I acted like I didn't even need to preach. Jesus have always helped me. He told me what was going to happen because he was trying to help me. But I had to act like. You can never get to the point to where when God trying to tell you something about you, whether directly or indirectly, you try to push it away. When God is trying to tell you to do the right thing, but you so into yourself, you just going to do what you want to do. Prophecy going to come. It's going to come. Well, I know I'm with Pastor Dollar. I don't believe in that tithing stuff. Hey, that ain't no tithing stuff. That's God's word. Well, it don't matter what I do. I'm going to be saved no matter what. Hey, you better watch yourself. See, it's one thing to say you're going to agree with somebody because they against what the Bible says. But you have to understand that with that comes consequences. With it comes consequences. You have to understand, even if you don't like something God said to do, don't mess with God. Talk about your friend, even talk about your mama if that's something you want to do. But the one person you don't need to lay your mouth on. One writer said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. David so understood it. When David had messed up, David knew that the Lord had omnipotent power. And David said, "Lord, whatever you do, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me." See, David knew, if you take your Holy Spirit from me, I'm in a world of trouble. I'm in trouble if you do that. But Peter wept bitterly to the point to where it was as if he hid God's word so deep in his heart to where he was determined to never, ever make the mistake of denying Jesus again. Peter not only did what Jesus prophesied in reference to him denying him three times, but Peter chose to return. And when he returned, he was tested again. He was tested again in the book of Acts. He was brought before people and they asked him to deny Jesus, to say this, that, and the other before Jesus. And Peter refused to do so. He refused to do it. In Fox's Book of Martyrs, a book that basically tells you how the apostles and other saints in the first century church and following died. When it came to Peter dying, he didn't want to be crucified straight up like Jesus. He said, I don't even deserve to be crucified like that. Crucify me upside down so folk can know I was truly a servant of God, or that he had fulfilled the prophecy that he would not only deny Jesus, but he would return to Jesus. And wrote a scripture that's profound for all of us. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. What we need to do, Peter, rejoice. Be glad about it. And I'm going to stop right there.